Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. We'll look in verse number 15. Appreciate my wife being here again tonight. She travels with me everywhere we go. We'll put up with one another and enjoy. And she said she'd rather go with me than kiss me goodbye, so I guess... Yeah, I notice Brother David is shaking his head. He'd have a hard time kissing something like this too. Yeah. Chapter number 12 and verse number 15. I want to preach tonight on the bathing experience of worship. Let me just make a couple of remarks about the subject of worship. I would not begin to try to tell you or to give you a definition of worship. If you have never worshiped, all the definitions in the world would not help you. But if you have worshiped, you don't need a definition. You've experienced it. And that's better than any definition we might conjure up. And I would not tell you how to worship. I go into all different sorts of Baptist churches, and I'm around all different types of Christians that I believe love the Lord. Some people worship the Lord with a tear. They weep a lot. Some people worship, and some churches worship with a high hand and a shout in their soul. Others, I've been and felt the presence of the Lord, and there wasn't a lot of outward movement. And I wouldn't tell you how to worship, just as long as you do worship is what counts. I heard a preacher talking about being out in Texas, and he was the main speaker of the hour. Well-known preacher, and he said there was a young fellow on the platform that's standing next to him that during the singing began to do a holy dance all over that platform, all around him. He said, I got a little offended that this guy would have the audacity to dance around the main speaker. And he said, no sooner had I got that thought, formed that thought in my mind till the Lord spoke to me. And his name was Curtis, and the Lord said, Curtis. And he said, yes, Lord. And he said, you dance. He said, oh, God, please. There's plenty of other folks here, other preachers. He said, no, Curtis, you dance. But he said, Lord, I don't want it. He said, Curtis, you don't dance, you don't preach. He said, I cut loose the dancing. I just joined him, locked arm in arm, went around. And he said, after that, I decided I was never going to try to tell anybody how to worship. He said, if you worship standing on your head, that's your business, as long as you're worshiping. Amen? And I believe that's the way it is tonight. But when we come into 2 Samuel chapter 12, of course, David has fallen into great sin with Bathsheba, had her husband slain, Uriah. And he has hid this sin for about a year. Nathan the prophet, God's man, comes in verse number 7, reveals it to him. David in verse 13 confesses to it. Now let's look in verse number 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. The servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? And when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Verse 20 is the verse that I am interested in, and let's look at it again. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. I'm preaching on the bathing experience of worship. Can I say to you tonight, in all honesty, I know what it's like to be clean. But I also know what it's like to be dirty. And there is nothing like a good old-fashioned bath to take care of the uncleanness. I used to listen to J. Vernon McGee preach on the radio when he was on often. My favorite radio preacher at that time. Someone asked me why. I said, well, you know, I just felt like after 30 minutes of listening to him that I had taken a spiritual bath. I think that's why we come to the house of the Lord. We come to worship. We come to have our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls cleansed afresh and anew. And I think that's what David is concerned with in two aspects. In the first part of the verse, he is concerned with the physical aspect, and he washes himself with water. And of course, I think that is important that we do keep ourselves cleansed physically. But the second part of the verse deals with the inner aspect of the spirit. He takes care of the soul, or he worships, or he washes the soul with worship in the presence of God. And certainly while we need physical bathing, and there is so much emphasis put on that in our hour, and there are so many products to help us and aid us in taking care of that, and so much instruction for that, certainly more so tonight, there is a greater need for the spiritual bathing of the soul. Now, modern times have helped us to improve upon our physical bathing as we contrast that with the spiritual. We can speak, many of us can talk about having our five rooms in our houses, or maybe even seven rooms and a bath. It's not been many years ago, and I'm one of them, can say that we lived in a three-room house with a bath. We didn't have the modern conveniences. And if you were going to take a bath, of course you didn't have indoor plumbing and running water, so you had to get the old galvanized tub out. Now, I see some of you smiling, shaking your head. That tells how old you are. I may not look that old, but I can remember those days back in the hills of West Virginia taking a bath in the galvanized tub. Now, the thing that was bad about that was that I was the youngest of nine children. And it was very inconvenient to change the water because you had to draw the water, heat the water, and pour it in the tub and take the bath. So, you know, if you were further down the line, you just had to take your bath after everybody else got done with theirs. But thank God now, you don't have to take a bath in somebody else's water. You can go in and turn the shower on and run your own water, well, if you want to take it and get refreshed, and that is a modern way of doing it. And thank God for it in the physical sense.
But I want to say to you, things have not changed in 2001 when it comes to spiritual bathing. It still takes and only takes the blood of Christ to cleanse the sinner's soul. The thing that worked 2,000 years ago cannot be improved upon in our modern society. It's still, the songwriter said, it's still the blood. Glad it's so. That the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, His Son cleanseth us from all sin. So, though we have the modern conveniences physically, spiritually, it is the same. Also, in olden times, because of the inconveniences of how you had to take a bath, you took a bath once a week, whether you needed it or not. And most of the time, that was on Saturday night. But I tell you spiritually, we can't wait till Saturday night to have our hearts cleansed. It needs to be a daily thing of bathing in the presence of the Lord and having our hearts and our souls washed clean from sin. And David bathed himself spiritually through the experience of worship. And there is nothing like coming into the presence of the Lord and knowing that you've been washed in your attitudes, your actions, your deeds, your sins, your filth, as David had to do. Now, there are three things that I want to say concerning the bathing experience of worship. I want to point out to you, first of all, I'm doing an analogy between the physical bathing, of course, and the spiritual, because that's what's happening in our text in verse number 20. I want you to notice that, first of all, in David's bathing experience of worship, he rendered to God his present condition. Now, he has been in an ungodly, black, darkened sin of the grossest sort for a year. It has been unconfessed and it has been covered up. But it is brought to revelation and brought to surface as Nathan the prophet tells him about it in these verses in chapter number 12. So what does he do? He doesn't make him a fig leaf. He doesn't draw him up some excuses. But he is the prodigal son who was in the hog pen, who did not try to cleanse himself before he came to the Father's house. Realized that the only place that he could be cleansed was at the Father's house. And so therefore he took his condition as it was to the Father. The good news tonight is, no matter what your sin is, no matter what the stain of your soul is, you can bring that condition to the Father, because you cannot wash that stain away. It is too deep and too sore. Though you may be able, as David did, to wash yourself physically, spiritually, you could never do so. But there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners who plunge beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. I say to you tonight, God is the only one that can cleanse us of our sin. So therefore we must bring our condition as it is to God. Because you see, first of all, there are two aspects of this. God is the only one that can see your condition as it is. You know, those children, they get up about 4 or 5 years old, they want to take their own bath. So finally, mom gives in and says, okay, go ahead and take your own bath. They get in the tub, they play, they frolic, they have a good time. And they look at their hands and everything, and they jump out and halfway dry off, and mom says, you'd take a bath, I sure did. And they're grinning all over, and then mom looks at their face and all that grime is still on their face. They've only taken care of, and only partially that, what they could see. So what does mom do? The thing that only moms can do. They're experts at it. They take them back to the tub and they get the washcloth and they put it in one ear and pull it out the other. And they scrub behind the ears and between the toes and all of these other places, and they get all the suds out of the hair, because those are the things that they can see that the child cannot see. There is so much film, there is so much dirt, there is so much stain in so many places in our hearts that we cannot see even of ourselves, because our hearts are deceitfully wicked. But God Almighty knows your heart and sees your heart as He saw David's heart, and therefore He can cleanse those places that no one else can see. He can cleanse them because, thank God, He can see them when we're not even aware of them. Esther's been juicing me some carrot juice and greens and beets. You ought to try it sometime. For this psoriasis. Now, I don't have cirrhosis. I've got psoriasis. Not an alcohol problem. And the first time she made me a batch of it, I don't know if you've ever seen beet juice or not, but it's as red could be. And it's hard to get down. And so the first glass of it, I just, trying to get it down as fast as I could. We were at home for just one day. I had to run into town and get some business done to get back, get ready, and leave again. And so I went into town and made my circle, came back home, drove up the road. My wife was standing on the side of the road talking to her sister. I pulled over and stopped, rolled the window down, and she looked at me and she said, "What have you got all over your face?" And she busted out laughing. Boy, that was an insult. And I reached up and got the mirror and adjusted it. I'd been in such a hurry to gulp that stuff down that I'd splattered it all over my bottom chin, and it came up even up toward my eyeball. It was like you'd painted it on there, and I went all over town, the post office, to Lowe's, all of those different places. But you see, it was things that I was not aware of, I could not see, that she could see. And aren't you glad that God knows and can wash in places that you know nothing about? Not only that, because He sees it, should we render unto Him our condition, but because that He and He alone can do anything about it. You see, when we think about bathing, we realize that there are different types of stains and soils. And accordingly, you have to have different types of detergents or agents that are powerful enough to dissolve whatever the stain is. If you've just been out in the garden and just common everyday dirt, you can go back in the house, get you some soap, and you can wash it off. But if you've been under the hood working on the car and you got all that grease, soap won't work. You have to go get you some Gojo, loosen it up, and then you can wash it away. Or if you've been doing some oil painting and you've got it on your hands, you can't just use a regular soap. You've got to get you some kind of paint thinner that will bring that off according to what the stain is. That's what you got to have as far as the agent is concerned. Can I say to you tonight, there is no stain that is so deep as the stain of sin. And the only thing that will take that stain away is Calvary's blood. And aren't you glad for the blood of Christ that will take care of that stain? The songwriter said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing." Boy, that'd be terrible if it had ended right there, wouldn't it? We'd be without hope, because we're all stained with sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing! And then he follows through and says, by the blood of Jesus, thank God. I'm so glad that there is that fountain that will wash away our sin. David presents himself, his condition, and he renders it unto the Lord. And as God sees it, he is able through his powerful agency, the blood of Christ, to wash away all our sins. I'm talking about the bathing experience of worship. Bring whatever the sin is. And so many times in pastoring for 22 years, I would invite people to church, and inevitably some would say, well, preacher, I would come, but the building would fall in. As if that the grace of God would not be sufficient enough to save them. But I say to you again, whatever the stain or the sword of sin is in your life, good news, the blood of Christ is guaranteed to wash away that sin. No fine print. It is guaranteed to wash away any old sinner's stain. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because it washed mine away. In the bathing experience of worship, David presents or he renders the present unto God. But secondly, I would point out to you that in this bathing experience of worship, David not only renders the present unto the Lord, but he releases the past. Now, isn't that what bathing's all about? You're not wanting to hold on to the present condition. You don't get in the bathtub and take a shower after you work all day and scrub down and plug the drain up because you want to save all that. And then you go back the next day and bathe in the same water and save all that. Next day you go and you bathe in water and you save all that. And you do that for about 30 days. And then when all the visitors come, you say, come and look. And all of this stuff that I had on me for 30 days. No, you don't want to see that. And you don't want anybody else to see all that nastiness. That's why we've got modern day plumbing. And there's a little thing called a drain down there. And when you get done, honey, you just open the drain and thank God all of those present sins are taken away. You won't ever have to be reminded of them again. You won't see that nastiness the next time you go in there. Thank God it's all gone. The songwriter again said, you ask me why I'm happy. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Thank God my sins are gone. Underneath the blood, on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. You know, I have to hand it to those guys that are plumbers. I've not done a lot of it except in remodeling my house. And I don't like that kind of business. I don't like to fool around my mess, let alone anybody else's. That's why when I take a shower, I'm not interested in saving the present so I can show everybody how dirty I was that day. Well, I want to tell you, I've been working in grease pits and everything. Come here and look at my tub. No, I'm not interested in that. As a matter of fact, I'm a little leery of these folks that are all the time wanting to dwell on their past. Wanting to talk about how much sin they'd been into, how much they'd drank, and how much they'd stolen, how many drugs. Honey, I'm glad all those things are gone. They've been washed away. Now I'm glad I've got a testimony to tell you that I did have some sin on me, but I'm glad I don't have to mull over all that stuff. I just tell you it's gone. Yes, the Apostle Paul testified, and he said he was a Pharisee, but he didn't sit around and talk about every head he had chopped off and everybody he had put in prison. He just said God saved him from that Phariseeism. Oh, listen, I am so glad And David is able, thank God, oh, that awful sin that he has been engaged in, that he has committed. I'm so glad that at this part of the text, he can go into the presence of God, and yes, even this sin can be washed away. Releasing the past. I've run into so many saints that are living with the guilt of their sin when God has told them it's washed away. And I run into a lot of saints that's wanting to bring up somebody else's sin when God has washed their sin away also. When you go before the presence of the Lord in worship and present your sin to Him, He releases you from that. It is in the past. It is gone. It is forever gone. I went up on the mountain a few weeks ago. We have gravity water. I know where Adam and Eve were at when they fell. We own that property. Everything I do there is just hard. I mean, it's cursed. Rocks. It's terrible. I'm telling you the truth. I was over here at a brother's house not far from here, and he had a little water leak and got out there and had to dig it up, and it's like digging sand. I said, brother, you ought to thank God. If you had to dig a hole like that at my house, it'd take you a month. I mean, to tell you. I dug the line up. I almost got to China. I mean, it was so deep. And all of those rocks, it's mostly rock. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was a mess. I mean, I was a mess. I had mud, grime, it was in my hair. I done got dirt in my teeth, everything else. But you know what? There's no sign around my house that I was ever on that hill. As dirty as I was. Because I come home and got my shower. Soaked up real good and washed it away. And my wife took the clothes and put them in the washer and got some of that good fine agent, put it in there and washed it all away. And you never know I've been there, thank God. And I want you to know, one of these days in eternity, you'll never have known I was in sin. And the stain of sin ever covered me. It's been washed away. And there was a lot of it. Thank God there was enough of His blood to take care of it. Washed away. The bathing experience of worship of which David brought his presence to the Lord and rendered. In the bathing experience of worship of which David was able to release his past. Oh, that past, thank God it's gone. But the third thing that I would say to you tonight is in David's bathing experience of worship, he was able to refresh himself as to his future. Isn't that what a bath is all about? It's to get you ready for a new day, filling up to it. Back to the thoughts of those children. David knew he had many tomorrows to face, and he didn't want to face all his tomorrows as he faced that last year. Every day waking up with that mirror of sin upon his mind. But he wanted to thank God washed away. So when the next day arose, it would be a new day. A new day. Take those kids again that we've mentioned. They've been out of playing all day, and you'd think their energy levels bottomed out. Bring them in, put them in the tub, and wash them up real good. Have you ever noticed how they revitalize, re-energize? I mean, they'll jump out of that tub after you're finished. It won't take time to even dry off. Through the house they'll go with a towel on their back playing Superman or something like that. The little advertisement that used to be around that said, you're not clean unless you're zest, fully clean. And of course, it just has that vitality about it. You feel new. And don't you? after the film and the filth of this world all week, come into the house of God and meet with the presence of God and worship Him, don't you feel zest fully clean? Ready for a new day. It just gives you a new confidence. You ever notice that? When we're in meetings every week just about. This year, 47. And in all the individual services like tonight. And as we leave the motel, the last thing we're doing is, and you can call it primping or whatever you want to, but Esther's looking me over. I mean, she's, you know, there's a string right there. I think it's a little dandruff right there. Let me get that. Your hair is sticking up in the back, and she'll spray it down. Don't look at me like that. Y'all do the same thing. I'm not from Mars. And I do her the same thing. She'll say, honey, is this all right? Is this presentable? How's my hair? Because I'm going to tell you something. I hate to get in church and get up behind the pulpit and my wife try to give me sign language that something's wrong. It'll ruin the sermon. I tell you. I lose all confidence. But there's just something about getting in the shower, scrubbing down real good, brushing your teeth, shaving, combing your hair, getting some fresh new clothes on, and then your wife looks you over and says, honey, you really look good. And then you get out into the crowd, and you've got confidence, and if anybody's smelling, if anybody's stinking, you know it's not you. Huh? Now that's not only so physically, but spiritually, I'm going to tell you, if people are to avoid you and you go home and say, well, you know, nobody shook my hand, they just walked away like I was a skunk or something, it may be you're stinking spiritually. Huh? I mean, if you've been zest fully clean, you have that confidence. And if anybody else, I mean, if somebody in the crowd said, who's that smelling? You don't go, because you know it's not you. Huh? Oh, it's so wonderful to go into the presence of God, to be scrubbed down, washed down, cleansed up, and refreshed so you can go out in confidence that everything's right between you and heaven. You've been lost! You can sing, you can pray, you can preach, you got that zest in your soul because you know that though you've not been perfect, you've been washed. It renews you, invigorates you for the tomorrow. You know, David, I really believe Psalm 51 is probably the psalm that he prayed in verse number 20. Let's look at it. Notice how he emphasizes this thing of David. And you can tell he's worshiping. He said in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I believe that's the heart of every child of God. A desire to be cleansed. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee, O God. Just wash me and bathe me. Cleanse me. It's
Charles Wesley said he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Aren't you glad that there is a place where you can go and take a spiritual bath? Let me close with this thought. I guess I have shared with the many times I've preached here, and I do appreciate your pastor inviting me. I thoroughly enjoy it. But I guess I've shared with you some of my past. You know, my mother left when I was a year and a half old. My dad was an alcoholic, and I was reared in that environment. Never knew anything about the gospel. Never was a prayer prayed in my home that I ever remembered. Never a Bible open. Never the name of the Lord used unless it was used in vain. And so without a mama, all of those years, you kind of can figure out how the personal hygienes went. Not too good. Nobody to do the cleaning. I was 6 years old, and the teacher came to me one day at school. And she said, "Son, I'm going to have to send you home. You're going to have to take a bath." I never have forgotten that, Brother David. I remember walking home, telling my sister, and she got the old tub out, galvanized tub, filled it up with water, and gave me a bath. Sent me back to school. And I thought about that. One day I was sent away because I was dirty. But never again. I will not be sent away from heaven because it's already been taken care of. I will be fully welcomed because I've been not just fully cleaned, but I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But listen to me tonight. I'm afraid that there are going to be a lot of folks leave this world planning on meeting God, thinking everything's going to be all right because they're, quote, good folks. Some of them even go to church and they work and good to their families. But did you know that in the nostrils of God, the Bible said that your righteousness is as filthy rags? Heaven will accept no cleansing agent outside the blood of Christ. And your sins or your goodnesses both stink in the nostrils of God. And I promise you, you will be sent away unclean if you do not make sure that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and that His blood has washed away your sin. Thirty-two years ago, as a young 15-year-old boy, I brought this body and this spirit and this soul to Calvary. And I prayed as David, "Lord, could you, and if you could, would you wash me clean?" And with confidence I say to you tonight, He did. He can. And He will. Cleanse us. The word there John talked about, cleanseth, it's not a one-time thing, but it means He continually cleanses us. He's a washing us all the time. Keeping us ready for heaven. I'm talking about the bathing experience. Oh, of worship. And I felt His presence here tonight. I feel a little sparkle in my soul. Let's stand by our heads.
Our Father, we do want to thank You for Your presence that has been spoken of as being here this morning in a great way. And then, Lord, for visiting us again tonight. I thank You for that fountain filled with blood, called drawn from Emmanuel's veins, that has been applied to this sinner. I pray for Your children tonight. I pray for that sinner that is You. May they come to know the Lord Jesus. Have their sins washed away and leave this building with a new light, a new freshness, a new hope, a new step, a new future. And I pray for Your children that, Lord, just the film of this old world gathering upon us in everyday living, we many times don't intend for it to be that way, but it does. Help us to worship Thee and present ourselves that You might cleanse us. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray and beg it. Amen. I don't know what you need.